And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Hunter's Bay Radio here today. Another beautiful day in Muskoka. We love it here. And I am very pleased to have a guest in studio who you've heard before, but it's the first time we've actually been able to sit down and talk to you. And Alan Turnbull, thank you very much for coming into the studio today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Peggy.
Now, Alan and I are neighbors in beautiful Bala, and Alan's been a critical part of the team that are working really on two issues in Bala. One is to certainly stop the private power project, specifically in downtown Bala, and also to reopen the portage, which are all both very key elements to why I'm on day 60 of my occupation of the...
Day 60. Celebrations.
In my adopted village of Bala. A big thank you to everybody that's been supporting me, and I tell you, there's an incredible team out there who are making all this happen. I'm just one point on the puzzle.
It is wonderful to see the support that you've been getting. You've been there for 60 days. Bala has fed you. They've kept you in firewood. They even provided a porta potty for you. And we thank you. I remember one of the first days I visited you. Of course, I was actually on holiday when you set up your tent there. I was over in Britain. Somebody sent me an email, and looked at it and said, "Who is Peggy Peterson?" And I said, "This is great." And when I came to meet you, I think the first day we came over was a Sunday morning, and we were very disappointed because you were not there. You'd gone off to teach at Sunday school. But I remember one person I met very early on, somebody I didn't know before, and he summed it up. This woman has the gumption to do something which nobody in Bala had the gumption to do. So thank you very much for your efforts. I hope that you can just get more publicity for it.
Well, you know, it was interesting because I was certainly invited by some beautiful First Nations people that I know, and originally was the closure of the portage that drew my attention. And shout out to Tori Kress and Becky Big Canoe. And I showed up there, and I was the district manager for the Canadian Federation of Independent Business for Muskoka, so I was familiar with Bala and the businesses mm-hmm. there, but I had... When I saw the Save the Bala Falls, I mean, it's been a 10-year process. I didn't connect that they were actually looking at destroying the falls, that beautiful scenic falls.
2004 was when the request for proposals went out from the Ministry of Natural Resources. So it has been going on for 10 years. But again, you first came when the Water Mohawks had their portage in, which was at the end of August. Now, again, that we were on holiday when that happened. And when we went away, things were looking fairly grim because the township of Muskoka Lakes had taken the Ministry of Natural Resources to court to try and get them to enforce two sections of the Public Lands Act, one of which says that historical portages have to be protected. And the township had just lost their appeal a few weeks before we went away. Then, while we were away, things changed. There were so many new developments. The Water Mohawks got involved because they had not been adequately consulted with. And that's a very important portage for them historically. It's been used by First Nations for hundreds of years. It was surveyed by David Thompson in 1837, and at that time he certainly reported on First Nations villages on the shores of Lake Muskoka. And that is the only water route between the Muskoka watershed and Georgian Bay and Lake Huron. So it has been used for hundreds of years. And it was of great historical importance to the Water Mohawks because specifically that is where they launched when they moved from Oka in the 1880s. They actually came by train to Gravenhurst, then to Bala, and then they went by boat, and they launched from that portage. So it is very, very important for them.
That was a life-changing day for me because to be there and to see the crowd of people who want to stop the project, but to listen to Chief Philip Franks speak so well and so passionately about the fact that, you know, there had been no consultation. We also had determined at that time that there was Williams Treaty connections to that land specifically, and they had also, to our understanding, had not been consulted. So I was quite convinced by the end of that day by the people that were there and the people I spoke to, and certainly Chief Franks and the Wautau Mohawks, that we had a very strong case. But like you say, it was a done deal on many levels, and the only thing I could think of to do was to pitch my tent.
And you came back with your tent a few days later.
Yep. September 1st.
September the 1st, so 60 days.
60 days. So, and it's been an incredible journey and a life-changing journey, and we've made some real progress. I think we've made some real progress.
I think the biggest progress that has been made since then, and it's attributable 100% to you, is that Rob Stewart, who's a filmmaker famous for Shark Water, just was passing by, came in, and started...
Out of curiosity, saw me in there.
How did that develop?
Well, that was interesting, you know, and over the course of the weeks before that happened, I had many people who were coming by and saying, you know, you need to film this, we need to make a documentary, names were suggested, and I really, at this point, people were showing up on the island, which I've now called Turtle Island, and on a perfect way. So I had said to several people before I met Rob that, you know, someone will show up and they'll do a film. And so when he and his girlfriend Zoe Crook walked in one afternoon, they were just in Bala for a romantic getaway at the family cottage, and they came into Bala to get something to eat. And he was curious, saw me in there, came in, stayed, camped, fell in love with Turtle Island. We all fell in love with each other, and the rest is history, and it's now
a
world
movie about you.
And it's well, it's the whole experience. I'm a bit part in it, but it's the world is going to watch and see what's going on, and I think the film is going to be very, very powerful.
And that would not have happened had you not set your tent up there. So thank you very much for that.
The other cool thing that wouldn't have happened is all my discussions with the Ministry of Natural Resources enforcement personnel and the district manager, because they quite often come in and ask me to leave. They're the only people that ask me to leave.
Yes, they did. And you have your bullhorn there.
I do. So. And we learned, you know, when Mr. Dan Dugan, who's the district manager for the Parry Sound Ministry of Natural Resources, came in his resort fleece to ask me to leave. We got some really good information from him, and one of the key things that I was able to get very clearly determined is the fact that the Natural Resources had not signed the lease on this land. So that was a really, and we've been able to really... bring that to people's attention, and of course there's been lawsuits and things that have gone on that, you know, we've got a whole lot more information to investigate and more things to get done. So we are going to take a break, and when we come back we're going to talk some more about how we're stopping this power project. And welcome back to Green Tapestry, and my gratitude to Hunter's Bay Radio for being such a community-minded radio and giving us the opportunity to talk about such important things. Some interesting changes in our because of the election.
Yes, Muskoka Lakes is going to have a new mayor, Alice Murphy, who was elected in the last election with a huge majority, lost to Don Furness. Now Don Furness has he's been filmed with the Swift River people in Tim Hortons, an infamous movie there. But Don also made it very clear in his election campaign that he was not in favor of this hydro project. So if even Swift River's closest friends in the township are having to say that, that tells you something about how deeply unpopular this whole project is. In fact, Don said in his campaign that he did not think that anybody in Bala would be in favor of this. So there's hope. I think a lot of people see Don as being in bed with Swift River. I think from his point of view, he is opposed to it. I think where the divide was between him and Alice Murphy was that Don believes in talking with Swift River. But there is hope for us. If Don, you're listening to this, if you are against the project, then come on side and help us oppose it. If all the politicians locally who would come together. I mean, provincial governments have shown that they can change their mind if there is a concerted local opposition. That's what happened in Oakville. That's what happened in Caledon. So please come on side. And I think there is some hope in that. There's certainly certainly from Ward A, which is Bala, everybody who has returned is completely opposed to this hydro project. And that's another thing that Don is going to have to find out. He's no longer just representing his own ward. He is representing the whole township. And that includes Ward A, which includes Bala, which includes an overwhelming majority of people who are opposed to this plant. And he is representing those people now. So I don't think the election result was as bad as some people in Bala are saying. I think there's hope.
I certainly trust it's all going to work out because, you know, I did have a conversation with Mr. Furness early on. He came to see me on Turtle Island, had a walk around, and I got a very firm yes from him when I said, you know, the best thing for Bala is that, and for Muskoka, because we're talking about the entire watershed, is that the project not go ahead. And he actually at the time agreed. I suggested to him that he would could be, if he became the mayor of Muskoka Lakes, he could be famous for the township that has a Turtle Island.
Absolutely.
And did something really incredible. This is a democracy in Canada. The will of the people still counts for something. It's really, I think, organizing that will into a unified voice.
And that is a big issue with the whole project. There was an opinion poll held this summer, and 85% of the people in the Bala postal code were opposed to that. 85-15. And, you know, In Scotland, which is where I was born, they had a referendum recently, and that was 55-45. And that was considered an overwhelming defeat for the independence movement. Oddly enough, an 85-15 percentage is not considered overwhelming. There's still people in, there's still being reported in the press that Bala is a split community. It is not split.
Not in any way.
Not in any way. Even Don Furness is opposed to this project. Everybody is opposed to it. So why will the provincial government not listen to us?
Mm-hmm. That was what I was really moved by the day I went over for the portage that the Wata Mohawks organized, mm-hmm. is that there were hundreds of people there, and everybody was on the same page to stop this project. Now, let's talk specifically about the harm, the potential harm, certainly to Bala, the watershed, from this power project. What we do know is that it's a private, for-profit project. It's not going to benefit the residents of Bala. We're also, as a taxpayer, everybody should be outraged because we are going to be paying highly subsidized rates for hydro to this company for 40 years. It's like a cash for life situation.
Absolutely. The Save the Bala Falls website, and I think anybody who is interested in this issue should look it up, savethebalafalls.com. They had a claim on it that Swift River were going to get a subsidy of $100 million. I recently checked those calculations, and they're correct. Over 40 years, they are going to get a subsidy, which is through an inflated sales price for the hydro that they produce, of over $2 million a year, and over 40 years, it adds up to $105 million. Basically, what I did was that they, under their contract, they're going to get up to 17.5 cents per kilowatt hour. OPG, in their 2013 financial reports, on their hydro electricity, they get between 4 and 5.7 cents per kilowatt hour. So all I did was take a weighted average of their production and selling price and compare that with what Swift River is going to get, and the taxpayer, the hydro user in Ontario, is going to subsidize them to the tune of over $100 million. So here you have something which is a project which is not wanted.
We don't need the hydro.
It is not needed.
We can very clearly document that.
And it is going to cost everybody in Ontario dearly to subsidize it. Why is it going ahead?
And look at the cost. If we don't even look at the hydro costs or the cost to the taxpayer, the cost to Bala.
The cost to Bala.
The closing of the road, you know, the single lane, the traffic. It is 169 is the only access point. That, you know, the community of Bala is giving, you know, have losing four pieces of Crownland waterfront that is their scenic paycheck.
Well,
really,
the Bala Falls is the center of Bala.
That's why it's there.
It's the biggest tourist attraction, and why would the government put a hydro plant in the middle of the major tourist attraction in a small tourist town? There's another aspect to it. In fact, when the township took the MNR to court, they were seeking protection under two sections of the Public Lands Act. One was the portage issue, which has got a lot of press and, of course, is of critical importance to the Water Mohawks and other First Nations. But there's another section in the Public Lands Act that says that where less than 25% of the land on a body of water is public, then the Ministry of Natural Resources has a duty to protect that. And on the Moon River, that body of water, it is the amount of public land is less than 14%. Muskoka has some very, very beautiful scenery, beautiful lakes, trees, rocks. It is just a wonderful area. But most of it is privately owned. There's actually very little public access to the beautiful waterfront. One of the prime pieces of public waterfront in Muskoka is the Bala Falls, and that is going to be taken away. Every bit of Crown land around the Bala Falls is going to be leased to Swift River Energy. We're going to lose one park on the north side of the falls during construction. If it goes ahead, we're going to lose the park on the south side of the falls forever. It's just going to be a big concrete block that's going to be built on it. So there's the two issues there. One was the portage, but the other is to preserve public land. And that's important for all of Muskoka, not just Bala.
It's also, you know, a lot of people think, well, it's downriver of us here on this side of Muskoka, the Huntsville, Bracebridge, Gravenhurst area, but it is part of the watershed, so it's really important that we take care of both upriver and downriver of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And yes. Certainly the taxpayer needs to be aware of what's going on. We do have a petition specifically regarding the portage, getting that reopened, because that's Section 28. I would love the viewers to sort of look into what Section 28 is, a new and rather militant component to the Public Lands Act that gives the Ministry of Natural Resources enforcement officers quite strong powers of fines and arrests, and denying access using a Section 28 on that particular piece of land was a real puzzle for me. So that was one of the questions I was able to ask Dan Dugan, because very often I was hearing that the Section 28 was related to the power project. So I was able to ask him with some witnesses whether there was a relationship, and he said no, there was no relationship between the Section 28 closure and the power project.
Well, now, with respect to Dan Dugan, I think the timing of the Section 28 signs is just too suspicious. Yes, people have been drowned in the Moon River below the falls. Three people have been drowned in the time that I've been there, and two people drowned in 2009. But there was an inquiry into that, and nothing in that inquiry suggested or recommended that land be closed off. It was only after the township took the MNR to court to try and preserve the portage, it was only then that the ministry put up the Section 28 signs. So the timing of it is, to put it mildly, suspicious, and it looks to me as if it was just a petty reprisal against the township of Muskoka Lakes and against all the people in Muskoka Lakes.
Mr. Dugan was actually quite specific, too, when I spoke to him about there being litigation from those 2009 adult drowning deaths. And at the time, I was quite familiar with the case and knew that the men had actually drowned off the little beach, not in the falls. And he didn't have much of an answer to that at the time. But I did suggest to him that if he's going to start Section 8 28 closure of portages due to whitewater drowning risks in Ontario, that he's going to be a very busy man. Algonquin Park, for sure, he could be in there for a year closing a waterfall. So,
He should take a look at the portage at the Raquelot Falls on the French River. It is scary.
It's scary. I'm familiar with the French River. It's quite a...
Well, that's why portages are usually there. It's to go around dangerous pieces of water.
So, just before we close, I want to thank you, Alan, but I do want to read something that's been handed to me that came from Mother Teresa, because under the circumstances, I'm sure you're hearing all kinds of stories about what's going on and about me. So, this is what I'd like to share. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and joy, some may be jealous. Be joyful anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten, but do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it'll never be enough, but give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. So thank you very much for listening to Green Tapestry. Thank you, Alan, for coming into studio today.
Thank you, Peggy.
And thank you to everybody who's been supporting this process, and we shall not give up until this project is stopped.